Hi, and welcome to Stirring the Pot on Voice of Vashon 101.9 KVSH LP, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Linda Nygaard, and you're listening to Stirring the Pot. And today I hope you'll pull up a chair and sit with me while I visit with Tom Conway. Today is National Pie Day, and I just thought we should have a visit with Tom Conway, Mr. Pie of Vashon. If you can't listen to this live, please tune in at our website, www.voiceofvashon.org, and we'll always have a recipe, too. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm great.
You brought some pie with you, I see.
I did.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm almost in the Saturday Night Live skit. What did you bring for us today? Well, I brought my sweaty... No, my pie is not sweaty, so...
No, I didn't think your pie looked sweaty at all. I thought it looked pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Well, National Pie Day is my favorite holiday. It has been for a long, long time.
Has it been in existence very long?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how long, but the first time I knew about it was probably 12 years ago, 15 years ago, maybe. And you and I kind of met over pie.
We did.
It was what we had in common, I think, was our love of baking pie. And speaking of pie... It's been a controversy for a long time about what is a pie. And I have a book here by Janet Clarkson. It's called Pie, A Global History. And in there, she researches so much information from the Greek days to the Roman days to the French days. And then she tells a story about how in 1920, there was a New York Times kerfuffle, if you will, over someone in the Times had called a pie a tart and someone else called the tart a pie. And for 2 weeks, the editorial was all about, or the letters to the editor were all about who was wrong about what. Mm-hmm. And it was all about pie. And they wrote an editorial in which they said, "It is utterly inefficient to eat pie only twice a week. As anyone who knows the secret of our strength as a nation and the foundation of our industrial supremacy must admit, pie is the American synonym of prosperity and its varying contents the calendar of the changing season. Pie is the food of the heroic. No pie-eating people can ever be permanently vanquished." So that's according to the New York Times in 1902, actually.
Wow.
So, you know, it's kind of timely, isn't it?
It is. And it makes you wonder, too, because, you know, there are usually two camps of people. It seems to be there's a pretty resolute delineation between if you're a cake person or if you're a pie person. Because I used to think, like, the reason I like cake is because there's icing attached to it. And so, you know, it's a vehicle for the cake. Is the cake is a vehicle for the icing, but with pie, the whole thing is awesome.
Well, it's an easy thing to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Early pies were hand pies.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us what you know about the early pies and the casings that were at that time in the 1500s, I think. Is that medieval? Yeah. They were called coffins. C-O-F-Y-N.
Excuse me. Yeah, as far as I know, and again, I'm not a historian, nor do I play one on TV, but from what I understand, early pies were really is more of a preservative technique of creating a coffin or a crust. It's basically early Tupperware where you would make, basically it'd be sort of an amalgamation of ingredients where the sums of the parts would be, the whole would be greater than the sums of the parts. That's what I'm
trying
to say.
There we go.
And, yeah. But it wasn't like you're eating the crust, you'd break a tooth. It was more of like a hard, crunchy casing of, I believe it was just flour and water.
It was no fat.
No fat. And then when some wonderful cook somewhere decided to add fat to it and then licked their fingers and went, hey, this ain't so bad.
According to this book, it was the Italians that did that.
Of course.
And, you know.
Was it Catherine
Demedici? Yeah, that one. It could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could start the rumor.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of crust, pie crust.
Yeah.
How do you make yours?
I have a standard one. There are, you know, of course, different types. There's a, as the French would call it, like a pâté sucré, like a sugar crust, which is more like a cookie dough. There's nothing wrong with that. But the traditional American pie, or at least the traditional double crust, is the one I make. And by double crust, I mean that the recipe gives you enough dough to make a bottom and a top. So you can... You know, you roll it out, you put your filling in the, with you put the crust in the pie pan, or the dough in the pie pan, the filling, and then you layer the top with another piece of dough. Usually custard pies don't have a top. But anyway, I digress. I digress.
The no digressing.
My favorite recipe is one from King Arthur Flour.
And, oh, good.
And it's they have a really great site with all their recipes, and they explain it really well. But it basically is butter, and then mainly its main ingredients are flour, water, salt, butter, and shortening. For me, if I know I can serve lard, then I put a little lard in there instead of shortening. And basically, the shortening creates more of a flakiness. The butter adds the flavor. Mm-hmm. And and there it is.
Well, you know, butter was the choice in the 1500s to the 1700s.
They didn't have no Crisco, girl.
They didn't. They used lard
they
as
used
well.
Lard, right.
But in Britain, butter was for poor people. Because if you had to slaughter the lamb or slaughter the pig to get the lard, you
Bye-bye.
Had money. You had you had money. It meant you were rich.
Yeah.
So you could use the lard. And butter was just sort of, you know, for the poor people. And I use a recipe that's all butter. Mm-hmm. And then I've tried it with all shortening.
How is the working out on that? Like, so with most doughs, how do you work with it? Meaning to listeners, you know, how does it,
how's
when
it
you're
feel?
Rolling it out, how does it feel? Does it fall apart? Does it stick together? Does it stick to the pan?
I've had the best luck with like 3/4 butter and 1/4 lard, leaf lard.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm doing.
And some people do half and half.
Mm-hmm.
Today I made a new crust. I brought a lemon pie for us to eat.
And yes, you did.
I tried a new crust today from Tyler Florence, and it had egg and grated lemon in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not too crazy. It's okay, but it's not as flaky and nice as a little bit of shortening is.
Yeah. You know, one thing I might recommend for people if you have fear of making pie, and it's definitely a phobia for some people because it is a major construction project, but is an oil crust. If you look up any recipe that is an oil crust, they're pretty much infallible. You can't really mess them up. I don't know why that is, but with an oil crust, it's a different texture and it's a different creature, but it's still really good. And if you want to start making a pie, then I'd maybe seek out an oil crust recipe.
You know, I've never used an oil crust. My ex-mother-in-law did, and she made beautiful, beautiful pastries.
And you don't even have to.
But it rolls out a lot easier. You don't have to keep it cold.
And you could even smush it. If you didn't want to roll it, you can just smush it in there with your fingers, mm-hmm. and it still turns out fine.
Well, I know people have difficulty when they're thinking about making a pie. They think, I can't possibly make a pie. I don't know how to do this. Mm-hmm. And what I think about, especially this time of year, in the wintertime, you know, it's the gray and the rain. There's too much rain, or there's not enough rain, or the days are too short. And, you know, we settle into this general malaise where we need pie. And so if you just take some time and learn how to make it, you can. I'd like you to tell me about the pie crust that you brought today.
Oh, that was and it was an oil crust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. This is it's a recipe from a friend of mine, Jeanette. And Jeanette's from Texas. And what was great is Jeanette was a serious cook. She had a restaurant. Her partner was Ann Nicholson, who lives on the island. And Jeanette, so there was Nick and Sully's in the old days of Seattle. Wax on fondly about no traffic and
a quiet little
town. But anyway, so Jeanette, they had a cafe, and this pie. What was so great about it is what I like is like when you're a secure enough cook that you can do stuff that's super complicated, and then you can do that sort of thing that she'd quietly say, "Don't tell anyone about this recipe." But of course now I am because that was 30 years ago. And I call it Jeanette's Easy Apple Pie. And this is how easy it is. Because you basically throw everything in a bowl for the crust. You just add 2 cups of flour, 2 tablespoons of sugar, 1 teaspoon of kosher salt, and then 2/3 cups of cup of vegetable oil, and 3 tablespoons of milk. And since I don't have milk in my house, I have half and half. What is the point of 2%? I have no idea. It's just flavorless. Anyway, so half and half or milk, 3 tablespoons. And then you mix that all up together. And here's the thing. You can mix it up till it's incorporated. You can mix it up for 20 minutes. You can go watch TV and keep the mixer on. I mean, you can't.
Is this in the mixer?
It's
in,
yeah, but okay. Yeah. So you just mix it until it's totally incorporated, and it really is like wet sand at that point. And then you take 2/3 of that amount, and you press it into a pie plate with your fingers. And it doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be a beautiful crimped edge. In fact, you don't even want to bother with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do is you put your fruit filling in, which is simply, 6 to 7 apples of your choosing. And, you know, for what you can buy at the store, usually crispy ones are like a Honeycrisp or a Pink Lady or Granny Smith. You can mix them up for a tartness and a sweetness.
Yeah, I like to use about 4 different kinds of
apples.
Right,
so you get a nice... And I don't peel them a lot. You really don't have... I don't think you have to peel an apple. It cooks long enough that it really sort of dissolves the skin, and it makes it... That makes you more willing to make it. If you have to sit down and peel apples, you're like, I'm not making that. And then you just coat those with 2 to 3 tablespoons of flour, the apples, and then a 1/2 cup of sugar, teaspoon of cinnamon, teaspoon of nutmeg, and then I melt 1/4 cup of butter, and then I drizzle that all over it and toss it all in, because that whole thing about dotting butter on a pie is, I don't know what words I can and can't say on the radio, but I would just say that's a bunch of bunk. I think it's better if you coat all of it with the butter as opposed to a little dab here and a little dab there. Mm-hmm. So you mix it all up, you put it in the pie crust, and then the crust that you saved in the bowl, the dough that was still crumbly, like the ones you put in the bottom, mm-hmm. there's 1/3 of it left, and you crumble that all over the top, and then you bake it at 400 until it starts to bubble, the juices in the pie bubble, which is probably about 1 hour to 1.5 hours. It depends.
Is this sort of like a crumble topping? It looks like a crumble topping,
exactly.
Like a Dutch apple pie.
Exactly.
Kind of.
Yeah. And it has a really nice sweetness and salty kind of foil to it. It's really great.
Lovely. Well, yeah. That's a good idea.
Easy pie. Jeanette's easy apple pie.
Easy as pie. You know, somebody said, who said that? Pie is not easy. Well, it can be. It sure can be.
Yeah.
I brought my lemon pie today as a testament to the fact that pies can be ugly and still delicious.
It's not ugly.
Oh, I burned it a little bit and the crust isn't quite finished yet. But
I thought it was really good.
We're going to talk a little bit more with Tom Conway here. I'm Linda Nygaard with Voice of Vashon. But first, I'd like to thank Windermere for their support. Voice of Vashon thanks you, Windermere Real Estate, for your support, for making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Thank you, Windermere. Now, we're back here with Tom Conway. Mr. Pie of Vashon, I really didn't introduce you very well when we started out. We just started yammering on.
I was kind of hoping for trumpets and some tap dancing.
I think everybody knows you as well as I do, you know, because they do. Tom Conway, we know him. He's the pie guy.
The pie guy.
Yeah.
There are worse things.
There are worse things. So tell me, what happened with pie and you? Where did this start? Is there a romance that we need to know about?
You know, there kind of is. Okay. I mean, there is a point when I really remember when I liked to bake. It was interesting. My mom was a good baker. My grandmother was a great baker. But I never cooked when I was a kid. It was kind of like we lived in a household where I got to mow the lawn and my sister got to bake cookies, you know? So that was the raw deal. So I think I was making it for lost time because I liked to cook. And so I started cooking more and more. And I remember once I wanted to make a pie, and I made one 30 years ago, and it was really awful, and people were really polite, but it was a soggy crust, it wasn't cooked, it was liquidy, it was an embarrassment, and I thought, you know, and then what happens is, usually what happens with a lot of people is you go, well, I'm not going to make it anymore, because that stinks, you know, I just can't make a pie. Well, I only made it once, so I was determined. I said, I'm going to make, like every year I try to come up with something that I want to do better, whether it be...
Wow, every year.
Yeah, it's not like becoming an architect or anything. Okay. No. It's like, you know, something that I think I can do better with.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to maybe research it and learn how to do something. And so with the pie, I decided I was going to get better at pies. And what happened is it was a sort of a layering of observation, because I think most cookbooks and most, I swear there's a collusion, there's a cabal to have the man and woman on the street not have the tools to make a good pie. Like all the stuff they tell you is sort of BS about pies. Like baking times are BS. If you ever see a baking time,
you just, really do have to just look. You
just
have to
look. Throw the book away. And it's all about, a pie is completely about observation. So it can look brown on the top, but if you are not seeing bubbling juices in the middle of a fruit pie, it is not done. And then nobody tells you that the reason it flooded out when you cut it is because you didn't let it cool. It's like it's like making jelly or a jam. It has to set, and you have to give it at least 2 hours for that to happen. And reheating a pie is a lovely thought, but it basically ruins the texture of the crust and it becomes a cobbler. So
I see people with the microwave reheating the apple pie with a slice of cheddar on top.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I realized that I thought I'm not that evolved, because there's still someone that I swear I'm not going to tell the story again, and I won't do it here, but I will.
Okay,
But it was about where I was over at somebody's house, and one of their other guests took the liberty of putting the pie that I had spent the last 4 hours on and to reheat it. It wasn't the host. It was somebody who said, well, it's better to have a warm pie. Well, it just ruined it, because it was still warm. And then when you put it in the oven to reheat it, the crust absorbs the moisture and it was a cobbler.
Yeah. Still good, I bet, but just not pie.
But it was like, I tried not to sneer at the gentleman all night. Because if you bake a pie, you shouldn't handle other people's pies. Let me just,
that
could be a t-shirt.
Too.
Do not handle other people's pies.
Pie.
Do not touch my pie.
Well, that's interesting, because when you said to me, do you want to cut the pie?
I did, because it's your pie.
Yeah, and I said, no, you can cut it, because you know how to cut a pie.
Yeah, most people hack.
They hack.
Get in there like they're digging up their driveway to put gravel on it or something.
Well, so do you venture off into the world of savory pies?
I do.
And tell me about that.
I have two of my favorite ones are... one is a chanterelle pie, and I use a cream cheese crust, which is really good. And then a chicken pot pie, which is kind of my standard. I do roasted vegetables in it. And so rather than, cooking the vegetables in the pie itself, I roast them ahead of time so all the moisture is out of it. So when you actually cut it, it sort of stands. Mm-hmm, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It, you get a light oozing of the gravy goodness, but that's not a problem.
But it's not soupy.
It's not soupy.
Yeah, that sounds really good too.
But chanterelles. But you know what? Chanterelles are. I don't know what a person has to do to get. We're spoiled little Northwesterners. Like, I don't want a button. I want a chanterelle.
And it's just right there in the forest.
Exactly.
So are you? I lost my question.
That's okay.
We were talking about butter earlier, and what I wanted to know from you is, one question I forgot to ask you is, do you have a certain kind of butter you use? I've talked with some English and some French cooks who say that American butter is so full of water that it doesn't give the same result in a pastry as a European butter does. Do you have any opinion on that?
I think I'm Thrifty Tom, let me tell you.
Okay.
And so the first time I paid like $6 for 8 ounces of Kerrygold, my teared up. And then when people ate the pie, I'd say, you're eating that way too fast. Eat it slow. Savor it. There's $6 worth of butter in this pie, mister. I think what's funny is I don't know if I'm not as discerning as those people or I don't know that the difference is that great to warrant the search for low moisture butter,
maybe in something like a croissant or something.
Yeah,
For that, I don't know. No, I use regular butter too.
Yeah, and I think there's certainly some truth to that from professional. I'm a home baker. I'm not a professional baker.
Right.
And I remember talking to Sam at Fashion Island Bakery. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, how come your quiche are so awesome? I love your quiche. And their crust is so good. And we were talking about, and anyway, I digress. I'm sort of drifting off into thinking about the quiche. But my point being is, we were talking about the filling, and she said that, make sure that I use 36% whipping cream, that extra 6% fat makes a huge difference. And so, and some things like in whipping creams, I think, but if I'm, for for pie, I think we're good to use.
I think we're good.
Our local good stuff.
So you have held a class or two.
Yeah.
In your home kitchen and teaching people how to make pies. Have you had people who really, really don't know how to make a pie?
Yeah.
Made their first one?
Yeah. It's a hoot. It's what's so great about it is I kind of, it's almost like a little Three Musketeers ritual where you hold up, I have French rolling pins. How appropriate is that?
Mm-hmm.
And you hold up your French rolling pins and you repeat after me, I'm not afraid of pie. Pie is my friend. I'm going to make an
pie
awesome
pie. Pie is redemptive. Pie is redemptive.
Exactly. We have a little mantra that we say.
That's good.
And I think one of the best takeaways when I give these classes, seriously, I have not had a bad pie come out of the class. And I would like to say that it's my amazing teaching skills.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, that's it. But I really think, truly, that it's when people know how to do something and you... And it's explained, and the understanding of why you're doing something, it all starts to click. And then you just base that knowledge, information, and the expertise of somebody else. You make it your own, and then each time you sort of, it's a patina. You layer on a new understanding that makes it better and better and better.
And
they do a great
job. And they do a great job, and I hope they're baking pies at home. That's what I hope they do.
I get piegrams where,
oh, that's great.
Where people will... They'll shoot me pictures and go, Tom,
look what I did.
Just out of the oven.
Aww.
And then they'll, it's sort of a joke because they call it pie porn, where they'll send me a video where it'll be going, where the top will be bubbling.
You know, you hit on something when you said you take a recipe and make it your own.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you did that with Shaker lemon pie
several
years ago. And can you tell me about that process? Maybe explain to people what a traditional pie is and how you went through a process and sort of developed your own, because it's really good.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, this is probably my favorite pie for winter.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you can get fresh fruit, but it's kind of fun to sort of change your, to go seasonally. And like in the winter, I'll do a lot of custard pies and things that are, a little change it up. And then when we get the fruit, then I go into the fruit pie mode. But what's so great about this is you can use Meyer lemons and you can use regular lemons, but I think Meyer are a little better. They're a little less.
And why do you like them better?
There's a little more sweetness and a little, there's a little more sweetness with the sourness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And a regular lemon, it still totally works and is really good, but you tend to get almost a little less lemon flavor and a little more pledgy sort of, you know.
Pucker.
Like the furniture polish there's almost an artificialness to it, which is odd because it's totally part of the lemon, but... It's minor. It's really minor. But
well, about Shaker lemon pie, I made one years and years and years ago when my children were little, and my son Luke was 6. I said, "Here, honey, try this pie. It's so good." And he tried it. It was very good. And he just stood there, and he stood there, and he stood there. And I said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "I can't open my eye. It makes one eye go shut."
That's perfect.
I know.
Yeah.
So that's the tart factor, you know, and those were big regular lemons.
Yeah.
So then you took that old recipe
and used Meyer lemons. But then, so just to give you a little background, the Shaker lemon pie was something that the Shakers would make in the winter when they had access to maybe just lemons. And you'd slice up 2 lemons really thin, keep the seeds out, you keep the skin on. So
mm-hmm.
you just, it's super thin. Then you keep it in two lemons, sliced thin, layered in 2 cups of sugar. You leave it overnight. It macerates, almost candies it. And then you mix basically eggs with it. And
what would happen if I didn't leave it overnight?
No, it's still pretty good.
It
tenderizes it. The salt acts a lot like salt does with meats.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of, it's a preservative and it kind of gives it a little more texture. And not that you need texture with lemon peels, and the thing about it with your son is funny because I always call this pie an adult pie. I go,
mm-hmm.
you know, are you adult enough to eat this pie? Because it has a little, that quirky, bitter, sweet, sour, minimal, just a hint of bitterness that makes it really exceptional. So what I ended up doing, so when you're slicing this pie, you have basically these layers of lemon slices and it's really good, but you know, you need to, you got to put a good chew on. And there's something really nice about the original recipe, but I thought, I wonder what happens if I just puree this stuff. So I took all the lemons, the sugar, the eggs. I added more butter than they require, which makes it creamier. Mm-hmm. And then I just pureed it until it was just sort of little nibblies in there, not, you know, little flavor packets of rind.
And you still macerated those overnight?
Oh yeah, no. Now I don't even bother.
Oh,
and now I don't. Okay. Nah, I don't do that. So then you just process it in a food processor, and mm-hmm. you get this beautiful lemon yellow.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Fluff.
It's beautiful.
And then you pour that into a pie crust. But here's the best part about this. One of the best parts about the pie is it's lidded. You have a top on it, so it's a lemon pie with a top crust, and you want to have a little hole in the middle so it can let steam escape, and you bake it, you know, like at 425 until it starts to brown, and then you bring it down to 350 so you don't over bake the custard, and it's killer good. It's really
well. I've seen it and I've eaten it, and I can tell you it's beautiful and it's lovely, and your recipe is going to be on our website.
Excellent.
Right with the show, so you can look up that recipe. Audience members who can't see, we're at www.voiceofvashon.org, Stirring the Pot. And I'm talking with Tom Conway. We're almost out of time here. And I'd like to thank Windermere for helping us put on this little presentation today. Voice of Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support, for making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible.
Well, I'm just curious. Do you have any other shows that, I mean, I'm excited, you know,
listen to me. What, Tom?
Like, now it's like, I know there's a time limit. Let's make it an hour.
Okay.
I was going to ask you, what do you have anything coming up that you can sort of tease us with?
Well, I do. Next week is going to be a little bit more serious. We're going to talk about food shortages and hunger and food disparity. I have some special guests coming in to talk about more of the economics of food and how hard it is sometimes for families in our country and in our little town mm-hmm. to get the food they need. So we're going to talk about some ideas and stretching recipes and maybe...
And like probably the right types of food too. Like, you know, when I was...
You mean not pie?
Not pie. No, I was just in Florida and it just seemed like the only thing you could eat in Florida was... It came from a drive-thru. It could have been where I was, but it was, you know... Where half of the nation's vegetables are grown in the winter, you couldn't find any.
You couldn't find any. I know. Yeah, we'll talk a little about nutrition, but mostly it's disparity.
Yeah.
And we probably won't have pie. Hmm. Well, I would like to thank you so much, Tom, for coming by. I feel like we ran out of time. I still have more pie stories, and I know you do too. So I think we might have to do another...
It's a bottomless topic.
Well, you know, what happens in springtime is we get new ingredients for our pies. We can have asparagus quiches and things like that. And then we get to stone fruits later mm-hmm. on.
I'm going to try a maple pie is one I want to try. I just saw a recipe for that.
Did you find that in my 1972 cookbook?
No, I was looking for it in there, but yours was a maple nut crunch, it required butterscotch pudding, so I was going to...
No. You shouldn't have said that out loud.
Sorry.
Thank you for joining us. I appreciate your time, Tom, so much. It was good to see you, and your pie is delicious.
Oh, it was a blast. Thanks, Linda.
This is Linda Nygaard with Stirring the Pot, signing off. Have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you next week.